Hi, this is Barry Britt, co-founder and director of copyright compliance for Sounds Abound Royalty Free Music. Welcome to part one of my series, Copyright Wisdom for Music and Multimedia for Educators. This will be an abbreviated version of our live workshop we conduct for staff development. So, if you wish to gain more information regarding our fully instructional professional development, be sure and visit the copyright compliance area of our website by clicking on the copyright symbol in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage at www.soundsabound.com. You know, as technology is moving faster than educators can stay within the limits of the law and fair use, more than ever they are in need of information regarding the proper use of music for multimedia in this digital age. As educators, ASCAP members, publishers, and incorporated record label, our expertise in these areas will deliver information to you so that you can take a realistic approach to copyright compliance, specifically when using audio and music and technology for education. And for those of you in positions of leadership who must ensure copyright compliance among your teachers, students, and administrators, this series will make you a pro and an authority to help protect your sites and systems against copyright infringements. Now, let's begin. We've seen an increasing number of lawsuits for music copyright infringements over the last few years. And more recently, the very first copyright lawsuit went to court, and this person lost. It was a Minnesota woman who has been ordered to pay $222,000 for illegally downloading and sharing music files, as this was publicized in headline news this past October of 2007. The illegal file sharing mechanism she was using is called Kazaa, K-A-Z-A-A. Kazaa, LimeWire, and others such as these are what's known as illegal peer-to-peer sharing devices, where through file sharing, someone can obtain audio files for which they have not paid. Illegally downloaded music is what has led the RIAA, Recording Industry Association of America, to file suits. Before Napster became legal, it was this illegal file sharing process that brought about the suits, in so many cases. My responsibility is to educate you on how to keep your site and systems copyright compliant at your school, district, or region, but in light of the illegal peer-to-peer sharing I just mentioned, let's talk for a moment about our home computers. I have a 14-year-old daughter, so I can sympathize with you parents who worry about the contents of your computer. Let me just say honestly that if you have Kazaa, LimeWire, or any other illegal peer-to-peer file sharing software on your home computer, get rid of it. It's not worth the risk. If you're not sure whether or not you have it in your home, ask your kids what they are using. Know what your kids are using. Looking back to the case in Westchester County in New York in 2005, as published in the Journal News for Westchester County, the poor mother in this case did not even know how to turn the computer on, yet due to her daughter's lack of knowledge about what she was doing, she had already racked up over $20,000 in legal fees by the end of 2005 in fighting the case. Know what you have in your home as far as these types of software are concerned, and if you discover you have them, rid yourself of the software and the files. There are, of course, now legal online distributors of music such as Apple's iTunes, Rhapsody, and many others. Paying for songs backed by a licensing agreement is the legal alternative. The problem we run into as educators is thinking that since we purchased a song legally, then it's okay to use in our video or podcast. Not necessarily true. When we purchase music, movies, and other copyrighted works of media, we as consumers do so for personal and home use. Once we enter the public, business, or educational realm, we enter a whole new world where our rights end or are limited. Outside of home and personal use, there is business and commercial use. If you go to a doctor's office, nightclub, or a major sporting event, the business owner pays a licensing fee to a publisher in order to be able to use a collection of music in an environment which is for profit. We as educators also live under the assumption that so long as our projects and presentations are not for profit, then we are okay to use them. This can be factored into the criteria, but is not necessarily true, as other factors must be taken into account. In our next podcast, I'll walk you through the educational realm, where we will discuss fair use, and you can find out where your rights begin and end when using music and multimedia for education. Be sure and subscribe to our free monthly podcast at www.soundsabound.com. That way, you don't need a note on your calendar to download the update. Instead, it will show up in your email inbox automatically. Thanks for tuning in, and I'm looking forward to seeing you back next month. Take care.